As you know, my name is Steve Thiel. I'm the pastor at Christ Proclamation Church. Great to see all of you here this morning. We're continuing our series on what it looks like to be men of courage. God made us to be men. Our day and age, I think that's confused in a lot of different ways, but it seems obvious to me that God made us to be men and calls us to act like men, which I believe at its core means that we are to be men of courage. I think that's part of what it means to be a man, is to be courageous. And so we're going to continue this morning. If you remember, I gave you an outline, four ways that I think we're called to be men of courage. Men of courage reject passivity. We talked about that last month. This morning we're going to talk about taking responsibility. So they reject passivity, they take responsibility, they lead courageously, and they expect a greater reward. That's what it means to be called to be a man of courage. So this morning, taking responsibility. Well, if you just think about that, that could look like a thousand different things. In fact, one of the hardest things for me to prepare for this morning was to nail down exactly what did I want to talk about with regard to taking responsibility. So we might actually cover this topic again next month as I'm thinking about just the different categories. But this morning I've limited to these three ideas: owning your mistakes, providing and serving, and protecting. Owning your mistakes, providing and serving, and protecting. Before we look at the details, let me just give you a story that I think captures all three ideas. Some of you might know the name Bill Lear. Bill Lear was the father of the Learjet, small corporate airplanes carrying about 5 to 6 passengers at a time and very fast, right? It's like climbing into a narrow tube with jet engines strapped to the side is essentially what a Learjet is. But Bill Lear was an inventor, an aviator. He's a business leader, held more than 150 patents, and was immediately successful. As soon as he delivered his first production jet to the client in 1964, he was successful. Things were moving forward. But there was a problem. Not long after getting his jets out to the market, two of the 55 planes out in the field crashed under mysterious circumstances. Now, he could have just left the whole thing go, right? 2 out of 55, who knows? Doesn't necessarily need to be my responsibility. Doesn't need to be the jet. Maybe it was the pilot. Maybe it was something else. Conditions. I don't know. Doesn't have to get involved. He could just leave it alone. But instead, he owned the problem. And he assumed the issue was his faulty design. Before it was even proven that it was his faulty design, he just assumed it. And he sent word out to all of the owners to ground their planes until he could determine what the cause was of all the crashes. He wanted to investigate it. Now, can you imagine the amount of expense that was? I mean, you just think about that in our day and age. It's just like, nope, blame shift, right? Try to delay. It's not what he did. He didn't blame shift. He was looking out for others. He owned a mistake before anybody else lost their lives. That, from his perspective, was more important than his pride. It was more important than negative publicity or financial expense. So he researched the failed flights. He discovered the cause, right? So under his own research, he provided the solution for the entire problem. But here's the issue. He nailed it down to where he thought the problem was, but he couldn't prove it on the ground. Had to be diagnosed in the air. So this is Bill Lear. He's got engineers. He's got pilots. He could have sent anybody up in the plane to go do that, but instead he wanted to do it himself. He didn't want to put other people at risk, so he chose to do it personally. Not counting himself more important than other people, but instead being willing to sacrifice himself for the benefit of the others. Providing, protecting, serving. As you can imagine, dangerous. He almost lost his life, similar to what happened to the two other pilots who did crash. But ultimately, he figured out the problem, developed a new part, and then he fitted all of the other 55 planes. Just resolved the issue. He was willing to risk his success, his fortune, and even his life to solve the mystery of those crashes, but not his integrity. And it took courage. Right? He owned the mistake publicly, provided a solution by willingly serving, engaging the situation, risking his own life, and he protected the people he worked for in his company by not sending them out there, and he protected his customers by coming up with the solution. I think it captures these three ideas of what does it look like to take responsibility. It looks like owning your mistakes, providing, serving, and protecting. Bill Lear is a good example of that, but let's look at the details. Owning your mistakes. That's really the bottom line, isn't it, to taking responsibility. Owning your mistakes. It allows you to take responsibility for your entire life. If you can't accurately perceive who you are, how you behave, and how your behavior affects other people, right? You're never going to be able to improve. You're never going to be able to have a good understanding of the situation unless you own your mistakes. You can't improve. You can't make changes. And I was thinking about this a little bit. And just think about it from this perspective. Men who have an internal orientation towards control, right? They understand, they believe that their responsibility to shape their own lives and the lives around them, their decisions, their actions, their attitudes have impact on other people. When you're like that, you're more confident, you're more disciplined, you're more likely to lead, and you're better at dealing with stress and challenges and the reality of things that are going on in your life. When you recognize that there's a control center right here, rather than men who would have an external orientation to control. Those that believe the course of their life is determined by luck or chance or other people and the effect that they have on their lives. Right? When you have that orientation where you think that control is outside of yourself, you're much more prone to think about life and think about yourself as a victim. Like everything is happening to me, rather than me being control of the situation. Prone to problems both with physical and mental health, plagued by stress and anxiety and depression, right? Because you can't control that. So you're always worried about what's going to happen to you. And you're prone to say things like, why is this happening to me? Because your orientation is you don't have control over the situation. Do you see the difference between those two? Men of courage take responsibility. They own their mistakes. Instead of remaining childish, they grow in maturity. Instead of seeing themselves as a victim and blaming others for their failures, they learn from their mistakes and they use them as a stepping stone to move forward in life. And what are all the benefits of owning your mistakes? Number one, it allows you to make better decisions. Rather than self-justification, right? Which distorts reality. Because you justify the situation and you blame other people, you're not really dealing with the reality. And the best way to make decisions is to deal with the facts. So if you're justifying yourself all the time, you're distorting reality, you can't make good decisions. Another benefit to owning your mistakes, you keep little problems from turning into big problems. Which that makes total sense, doesn't it? You made a mistake. Great, let's correct it and move forward. Whereas if you make a mistake, you justify, you don't really deal with the issue, you just continue to make other mistakes, and you get deeper and deeper and deeper. You see this with your kids all the time, right? They make a mistake and they lie. And then it gets deeper and deeper, and sometimes I say to my kids, let's just stop and start over. Like, redo. It would be better for you right now to just tell the truth and not dig a deeper hole. And I don't know what your kids do. My kids do this. They go, okay, I'm ready. Okay, so tell me again what happened. And I watch them. They move from over here, and then I get, and it's, I think it's a good lesson for them to rather than make a mistake, keep telling the lie and getting deeper and deeper in the situation. No, let's learn to just deal with reality. Let's not justify. Let's not blame shift. Let's deal with the issue. Other benefits to owning your mistake. You learn. enables you to learn. Right? If you make the same mistake over and over and over, you're foolish. Learning from your mistake, making mistakes is not a problem as long as you learn from them. Right? Did you realize that Thomas Edison, 10,000 tries to find the right materials to make an incandescent light bulb. 10,000 tries. Here's what's amazing about Thomas Edison. His orientation was not that he was failing. That's not how he thought about it. A hopeless optimist, Thomas Edison. Every time he tried a different material and it failed, he determined, great, checked it off the list. That's not what it is to make an incandescent light bulb. His orientation was not one of failure, but honing in on what the exact right materials should be, closer and closer from his perspective to the solution. It's not a problem. It's actually a benefit. You learn from your mistakes. Here's another benefit. You might be saying, why are you going through all the benefits? Because I don't think we do a very good job of owning our mistakes. I think we're prone to justify. I think we're prone to blame shift. So I was trying to wrestle through this. Last one that I've got. Men who own their mistakes engender the respect of others. By the way, I think this is just another way that proves that the Bible is true. Right? The world would say you don't want to own your mistakes because you lose credibility. And I think the Bible tells you you should be honest and own your mistake, and it actually works out to your benefit. Own your mistakes engenders the respect of others. Because so often we hide our mistakes from other people, we're worried about what they might think of us. When we own our failures, we apologize for them, and we work hard to make them right, it causes people to respect us, appreciate us. Why is that? You might see this in your workplace. Because it shows yourself to be a humble person. Shows you to be a man of integrity. Shows you to be somebody who's honest. Great illustrations of this from history. I've told you already about the story of Robert E. Lee. Right? Robert E. Lee at the Battle of Gettysburg. Right? He made the decision, we're going to fight here. Some of his commanders, his generals, say, this isn't the best ground. Let's head towards Washington. Let's find high ground so we can fight on the best location. Robert E. Lee says, no, the army is here. Right? The Union is here. We're fighting here. He made the decision. Now, if you follow those three-day battles, there's tons of people to blame who didn't do exactly what they were supposed to do. But when they had Pickett's charge and it failed and it proved that they had lost the battle, they had lost Gettysburg, Robert E. Lee took responsibility for it. When his men walked by, he said, this is all my fault. I asked more of my men than I should have asked of them. This is my fault. That's what he said to his men. Do you know the name Wayne Hale Jr.? Wayne Hale Jr. He was the launch integration manager of the Columbia Space Shuttle, the shuttle that disintegrated over Texas during its re-entry into the Earth's atmosphere, killed 7 astronauts. All right, listen to what he says. Publicly, he makes this statement, I had the opportunity and the information and I failed. I failed to make use of it. I don't know what a court of law would say, but I stand condemned by my own conscience to being guilty of not preventing this disaster. The bottom line is that I failed. Therefore, look no further. I am guilty of allowing the Columbia Space Shuttle to crash. Can you believe that? In our day and age, how often do you see somebody at the top saying, this is my fault? Without some sort of if-then situation, right? Just taking responsibility. I think it's striking to hear language like that because it's so rare. So few men stand up and own their mistakes. But I'm telling you, step one is taking responsibility starts. It starts here, owning your mistakes. You can't be right when you're wrong and then be right when you're right. You can't have it both ways. I actually think this is one of the problems that we have in the family. So if the father doesn't just recognize this is my responsibility and I'm wrong, when he leads wrong, when he moves in the wrong direction, when he doesn't do that, what does that cause in the family? It's just a bunch of hypocrisy. It's an utter frustration to the kids when dad says, you should do this, but I'm going to do this. This is right for me, but it's not right for you. Or this is right when I do it like this, and when I do it like this, this is right as well. You know what, kids? Dad's always right. See, much better for you as a father to just own your mistakes. You screwed up. Tell your kids, it's my fault. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. We're going to head in this direction. I think that would be much better for our families. It may be much better for your wives. If you screwed up, just apologize to your wives. Don't be afraid to lead. Lead. But when you screw up, apologize. Own your mistake. Step one of being a man of courage who takes responsibility is owning your mistakes. Okay, providing and serving. Number two. Might ask, who do we provide for? I think as men of courage, we're to provide for as many people as we possibly can. Men of courage are never off duty. Men who take responsibility are never off duty. When you go to work in the morning, you're serving, right? You're providing. You're on. You're on duty. You know that. When you go out in public, you're serving the community. You're providing. You're on duty. When you go home at night, you're serving, you're providing your family, you're on duty. You're not off duty when you get home. Some of us need to adjust our orientation to when we pull in the driveway. You pull in the driveway and you walk in the door, you're still on duty. You're providing and you're serving. You're just providing and serving for your family. This is bare minimum. Taking, providing, serving for your families. 1 Timothy 5:8, but if anyone does not provide for his own family, especially for those of his own household, he has denied the faith and he is worse than an infidel. And when you think about this with your family, it's obvious to me that you're providing for them financially and you're providing for them physically, right? You put a roof over their head, you put food on the plate, and you carry the weight of that on your shoulders, financially, physically. So our day and age, right? A lot of women work. There's nothing wrong with ladies working. There's nothing wrong, I don't think, with ladies making more money than their husbands. I think that's totally fine. But ultimately, the responsibility still lands on our shoulders to provide for our families and serve them. So I think it goes bad when women carry that responsibility. I think we are designed to carry that responsibility and manage things. Men of courage take responsibility. They provide for their families. They carry that weight. And I think you're called to provide for your family in every other way as well. Emotionally, relationally, spiritually. We're called to raise our kids in the fear and admonition of the Lord. We're called to live with our wives in an understanding way, to love them as Christ loved the church. If you just start thinking about that, how did Christ love the church? Providing, serving, sacrificial, laying down his life. That should be our orientation to our wives and our kids. That we're serving them, we're loving them, we're laying down our lives for them. Whatever is most helpful for them, we are willing to do. You think there's anything that you're not called to provide for your family? I mean, just flip it around and think about it the other way. There's nothing that you're not responsible for as the head of your household to provide. That's your responsibility. I told you last month, exact same thing is true in the church. Just think about organizations. The elders of the church are called to lead their own families well so that they can lead the other families in the church, providing and serving and taking care of them. And I think that's the same orientation in every organization. Those who are at the top, just think about your own company. Those who are at the top should look out. They should provide and serve the people who are under them. That's what bosses should do for their employees. That's what service providers should do for their customers. How is your company doing? I mean, just look up the chain of command. Do you feel like the boss, the CEO, the CFO has an orientation to serve and provide for the company? You might be like, that's nowhere to be found. Well, when it hits your level of management, you should take that responsibility. And the people who serve under you will love working for you because you stop passing the buck. The buck stops here. Come and talk to me. I'll deal with your situation. That's what you'd love to have from your bosses, isn't it? You know you love it. So here's a great illustration. So just think about customer service situations. Don't you love it when they actually serve you? Customer service. I had an issue with my internet the other day, so I called the Comcast representative on the phone. So the speed of it is not working. Great, okay, let's do these things. It was going really well to start. Great, let's test it. Okay, reset it, all this other things. Great, this is running better, right? Boom, boom, boom. I do the speed testing or whatever they had me do, and oh, this is functioning much better than what it was. Okay, do this last step. Great. All of a sudden, the lights on the little box stop flashing. I said, I don't have any internet. No, I lost it. Oh, I'm sorry, your box went out. Oh, okay. Well, what's the next step? Are you going to bring me a new one over? Is there a local Comcast person in the area? How do I get a new box? Oh, no, I'm sorry, sir. You have to take your box down to West Hartford. Why don't you bring me a box? Well, we could send you a box in the mail, and then you could put it in the box and ship it to us. And once we receive it, we'll send you another box. How long will that take? 2 weeks. I need internet now. Well, then you can unhook it and take it to West Hartford and go get yourself a new one, right? I mean, I was frustrated because customer service was no longer serving me. You know that as men, we're called to take a responsibility and provide and serve. And you know it because you get frustrated when other people don't do it for you. That's what we're called to do. Good last, taking responsibility. Men of courage take responsibility, and it looks like owning your mistakes, providing and serving, and it also looks like protecting. Men who are willing to confront what they believe is wrong, actions that are immoral and unjust, and they protect the rights and safety of others who are in danger. All of these situations require courage. And they're not easy to engage because they require confidence. They require convictions, clarity of mind. Right? And it's much easier to not think about a situation. It's much easier to not engage a situation than it is to think about it, have clarity of mind, convictions, and engage. Providing and protecting. Now, I'm sure when I say protecting, the first thing that comes to your mind as you think about your families, you think about keeping the house locked at night, holding your child's hand as you cross the street, making sure that they're safe, right? When you hear a bang in the night, you're responsible to get up and check it out. The other night, my son, it was like 3 a.m, my son, who's 11 years old, 12 years old now, comes, knocks on the door. Dad, I heard something. It's 3 a.m. I'm not all there. And he's, Dad, I heard something. What should I do? And I said, go check it out. So he turns on all the lights in the house. And, I'm half asleep. I don't really know what's going on. But I woke up in the morning, and you know how you have a memory of something? It feels like half a dream, but you can't tell if it was reality or something that you dreamed. But I woke up in the morning and I felt guilty. And I think rightfully so, right? My first response is, go check it out yourself, which I think is wrong. So my son heard something. I think the right thing to do would be to wake up and go make sure my family is safe. That's taking responsibility. That's just protecting your family. And we had the lights on in the entire house from 3 o'clock in the morning, right? Including the light right outside my door. But I think that's what we're called to do. Physically, of course, we're called to protect. Physical harm. Did you catch the news the other day? Did you see the shooting that took place at the, Planned Parenthood clinic? Did you follow this at all? There's a, Garrett Swayze, 44-year-old police officer, devoted husband and father. Right, he gets the phone call, he's 10 minutes away, he runs over there, engages the situation, and he's killed. What is he? We look at the situation, there's so much bad stuff on TV, including the shooting that took place in a Planned Parenthood, but nonetheless, I thought the highlight of the whole thing was this man took responsibility. He had courage, and he jumped into the situation, he sacrificed his own life to protect his community. That's the right thing to do. To protect the people around you. It's not just your family, it's your community. But when you read the Bible, it takes it further than that. It talks about the reality of protecting people from every form of evil, which means that we have to be men of convictions. And the only way to be, so the result of convictions is you have confidence. When do you have convictions? You've thought through something. You've reached a conclusion. You know something to be true. You know it's right. Then you have confidence to act upon it. And then you're not afraid of the confrontation because you've thought through it. This is the best thing to do. This is right, and so I need to engage it, and I have confidence to move it forward. Romans 12:21 says, do not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Our culture is moving in a messed up way. And I'm not going to go through all the different ways in which that is. But if we don't engage the situation and stand up for what is right, who will? And you think about the idea of providing, serving, and protecting. If we don't engage the situation, how are we protecting our children from the future? How are we taking care of our grandkids and the direction that things are going to move? See, I think we're called to have clarity of mind, have confidence, and being willing to confront situations because we're trying to protect the people who are coming generationally. Every form of evil, the Bible tells us, we are supposed to not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Convictions, clarity, engaging the situation. Men of courage take responsibility. They own their mistakes, they provide and serve, and they protect. They're always on duty, they're active, they're willing to engage situations, they're willing to help and serve and take care of the people around them. That's what it means to be men who take responsibility. As we close, you just take that grid of what does it look like to take responsibility and you put it on the Lord Jesus Christ. And it stands out. It's unbelievably clear. You think about taking responsibility not only for yourself, but the other people. The Lord Jesus didn't do anything wrong. Bible says that he's without sin. He's taking responsibility for himself. Everything that he did brought glory and honor to his Father who is in heaven. So not only does he take responsibility for himself, but he comes to earth so that he can live a perfect life and take responsibility for other people. That's essentially what the cross is all about. His willingness to die, his willingness to take our sin, the lack where we lacked responsibility and we did what was wrong and evil, he takes that and he puts it on himself. And he pays the penalty that we deserve so that we can be forgiven of our sin and have the hope of eternal life. If you want to talk about a man who took responsibility, you have got to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're called to follow in his footsteps. But I would appeal to you that we're not only called to follow him, we're called to believe in him. That's what he demonstrated in the reality that he took responsibility so that we would believe in him, rest in him, repent of our sins, and be reconciled to God for all eternity. That, gentlemen, I think, ultimately, is you taking responsibility, owning your sin, looking to him by faith. So I want to appeal to you this morning that ultimately, that's what it looks like to take responsibility, owning your mistakes, serving, providing, protecting. And I think the only way that we can be men who do that is by faith in the Lord Jesus. So if you would, let me pray for our day, then I will dismiss you guys. Father, we are grateful. Grateful for just the way in which you're instructing us. You're helping us to better understand what does it look like to be men of courage. And I pray that you would help us to be courageous even today as we wrestle and think about what does it look like in our own lives to own our mistakes. Are there mistakes that we haven't owned in the past that we need to take responsibility? Are there conversations that we need to have today that are the outworking of us owning our mistakes? Then, Father, help us to be men. Help us to live courageously. Help us to provide and serve and protect the people around us. And Father, ultimately, I pray that we would do that by faith in the Lord Jesus. We give this day to you. We ask that your hand be upon us. Help us to lead in a way that brings glory to your name. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.